At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Berlin, Germany. Remarks by the president of Germany, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, within these last days about the conflict in Europe, but also the conflict over the world island, Eurasia, for these next decades, the remainder of this century. Said the president, "When we look at today's Russia, there is no place for old dreams." He's speaking at his official residence, the Bellevue Palace in Berlin. "The invasion," says the president, "marked the definitive bitter failure of years of political efforts, including my own efforts." He went on to say that Russia's invasion of Ukraine, its war in Ukraine against the Ukrainian people and NATO, was despicable and cynical, lacking regard for human life. Now, the president had just returned from the war zone, and he's got the images in his mind when he says, "A supposed peace that rewards acts like this, a peace that seals Putin's land grabs, is no peace." He went on to say there's an epochal shift underway in Europe. Speaking to that, I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe for the Carnegie Endowment of International Peace, who's written very carefully about the transformation underway in Germany, and now from Herr Steinmeier's remarks, all of Europe, into an epoch, an epoch that we have not lived through before, where Russia and China, Beijing and Moscow, are linked together hostily to Europe, hostily to the world, and a threat to liberty. Judy, a very good evening to you. This speech was carried on television throughout Germany, I understand, and received attention in Europe, very little here. First, we need to establish the speaker with great gravity. What is the important thing to know about Frank-Walter Steinmeier and his position in the state? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Thank you for having me on your show. Frank-Walter Steinmeier is a consummate veteran politician, former Beamter civil servant. And he has served as a foreign minister for a long time under the former Chancellor Merkel's government. And now he's been elected twice to be the president of Germany. It's ceremonial, but you can do things with it, like make speeches and like reach out to people and explain Germany's place in what is evolving a new world and a new Europe. And that was the background to this speech he gave, one of several, by the way. And this one is very interesting for several reasons.
The coverage was in Germany on television. Was it well attended? Can you tell us now, did the German population pay attention to these grave words?
They have heard this kind of tone before, one of apology, one of regret, one of being slow to react to what Russia's doing. And however, what President Steinmeier left out was the fact that Russia invaded Ukraine in 2014. And even then, Germany did not react by cutting off this huge gas contract with Nord Stream and the Russian Gazprom giant. And somehow Germany, yes, they imposed the sanctions, but it simply didn't react by breaking off its dependence on Russian gas. And they kept this kind of Ostpolitik, this Eastern policy with Russia, the belief that, well, we can still do business with Russia. And this lasted until February of this year, when Russia invaded again and with a powerful military machine invaded Ukraine. And so Steinmeier is now looking at what happened in 2022 instead of going back to actually say to the German public, we should have reacted earlier, we should have broken this dependence, we should have been much tougher.
No place for old dreams. That's quite poetic, Judy, but it takes me to a revelation you made many months ago as we began our conversation, that there was a large and sophisticated representation in Berlin and other parts of Germany that just want the war to end so they can go back to the way it used to be, the Ostpolitik. Is that group still in place? Is Steinmeier addressing them directly?
Steinmeier has moved out of that group. He was one of he prolonged Ostpolitik when he was foreign minister, going to Russia several times, being very close to Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, going to the cities, promising to modernize the Russian economy, promising more integration, getting closer and closer. But the thing now is that Steinmeier knows that the public generally do not like, actually, it's despicable in the public's eyes of the carnage and destruction that Russia is imposing on a peaceful country. But inside the Social Democratic Party, of which Steinmeier is still a member, there are still influential voices of an older generation who hark after the old days and who want diplomacy and negotiations, not entirely on Ukraine's terms, but they want this war to end and not quite get back to business as usual. They couldn't afford to say that. But, well, it's time now to end this war. It's as if it's an inconvenience, especially when it comes to higher energy costs and what it's doing to Europe.
I mentioned that the president is 66 years old, meaning that he's born in the late 50s and became mature as the East Germany and West Germany were pitched against each other in the Cold War. Can we see that influencing his opinion or the opinion of his peer group, this hesitation, Judy? Does the threat of another divided Europe frighten them?
I don't think it's the threat of another Europe decisive in Steinmeier's views. It's actually a younger generation of German academics, of young people in the think tanks, of Russian experts, of Ukrainian experts, of East European experts, who are saying enough is enough. Germany has to actually fundamentally change, rewrite its policy towards Russia. So there's an immense pressure coming from younger people who are not part of the Ostpolitik and they see the weakness of Ostpolitik. And Steinmeier really now has to respond to this. The big question is the Social Democratic Party right on board for the new thinking? And I must add that there's a younger generation inside the Social Democratic Party who really want Germany to make a new break and have a new strategy towards NATO and Europe and Eastern Europe.
The president goes on to say, anticipating diplomacy, which may or may not be at hand, but certainly is in the future. Settling with Putin, he says, would mean a rule of terror for many people in Ukraine and would leave them at the mercy of their Russian occupiers' arbitrary violence. Worse yet, says Herr Steinmeier, a sham peace like this would only increase Putin's hunger. Moldova and Georgia, as well as our NATO partners in the Baltic, live in fear. An unjust peace is no peace. It carries the seed of new wars within it. Is Germany particularly threatened? Is it feeling the heat now the way Romania does, Judy?
This is a really important couple of sentences you've read out. It gets to the whole crux of the issue that having this kind of sham peace, as Steinmeier calls it, it will not be a peace. It will breed even more instability. And it will be a peace that will give Russia the upper hand when it comes to Georgia, when it comes to Moldova, when it comes to Armenia, when it comes to Belarus, which is why most Europeans, or rather the Central Europeans, Poland, the Baltic states, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, they want a kind of victory. And a real victory would be very difficult, but a sufficient gain by the Ukrainians that they can go to the negotiating table in a much stronger sense. If not, Putin will get his way. There's no doubt that negotiations will have to start, but at the end of the day, the Ukrainians will have to know what kind of negotiations they want, because actually restoring the entire Ukrainian territory back to Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, it's questionable if this is ever going to happen.
The call to action in the president's speech: we must cast off old ways of thinking and our old hopes. We are not living in an ideal world. We're living in conflict. Here's what needs to be done. For a long time, we were able to rely on others, but now others must be able to rely on us. The society needs strong armed forces, and the armed forces need a society that supports them. Is Germany rearming? Will it rearm at the scale that its population provides?
No, it won't. And the population, if you look at opinion polls, there's a section of the population which is anti-American. There's a section of the population which is pacifist. There's a section of the population which is anti-NATO. And bringing in all these three things under one umbrella, it actually negates the whole concept of Germany rearming. And remember, the connotations of rearming is quite shocking, given what happened in the 1930s and after 1918. There is this element that really isn't factored into the equation. What it should be factored into the equation is that Germany shouldn't stand in the way of other countries and NATO playing a much more active role in Central Europe and in Eastern Europe and not be intimidated by Putin. And for now, Germany's been foot-dragging in all sorts of ways over supporting Ukraine militarily. One can understand why, but that's no reason to stop the government from sending weapons to other NATO countries and allowing those countries to send the weapons and the military support for Ukraine.
Germany watches Russia very carefully because of the conflict zone. But in these last days, we are acquainted again with the fact that Germany is a export-driven economy. Its manufacturing is superior. It wants to sell to the world, including China. So when we come back, the Chancellor of Germany, Olaf Scholz's embassy to Beijing to meet with Xi Jinping, how is it regarded, understanding that Beijing and Moscow are linked, according to NATO, as adversaries of liberty? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.